It has often seemed the director Michael Greenwich's gift that he can bring a life to a sort of theater which in other hands might seem stuffy or staid. Certainly one can imagine the casual theatergoer's heart sinking at the thought of the 3 hours of Schiller that are Greenwich's Sheffield Theater's revival of Don Carlos, which has now reached a West End at a time considerably less enlightened than 1787 when the play was first seen. And I have to imagine my heart did a wee bit of sinking itself at the start between the rather overpowering incense that seemed to be choking large members of the audience and an opening scene played by lots of anonymous hooded men to the sounds of one of those tinny scores that reminded me of the bad old days of the RSC as here reorchestrated by Vangelis. But then, more quickly than Kim Cattrall bounds out of her bed for the curtain call, Greenwich pulls it off. To tell the story of Don Carlos, Schiller's eponymous boy man, a 16th century crown prince evidently in need of a cuddle, and his vexed, to put it mildly, relationship with Dad, that's to say, Derek Jacobi's stern-faced, sharply spoken Philip II of Spain, a terrorist on both the domestic and the political fronts. The Inquisition, one feels, begins at home. Greenwich allows what contemporary resonances there are, and they are considerable, to be gleaned or not, starting with a depiction of religious fundamentalism that can't help but tally with our post-9/11 times. Furthermore, it's hard to imagine anyone failing to think of our present-day royal household in some of young Don Carlos's yearnings to be treated as a human being and not as some vague abstract title. All this from someone who, we're told, didn't even see his father until he was six. But the play also builds into a scorching study in duplicity and gamesmanship that out-mammoths mammoth. If there were one more scene, the human wreckage on stage might rival that of Hamlet, though Schiller, as here adapted by Mike Poulton, cunningly brings down the curtain just before. In the theater, as in life, one should always leave the audience wanting more. Carol Wattis, this play kicks off a mini Schiller season that will include a production later this year at the Donmar, Mary Stuart, and others. And yet, the received wisdom is that he's been strangely neglected for years. Does this production make a case for reclaiming him?
I will probably sound in the minority here, but for me, no. No, in fact, I should word that rather differently. I love Schiller. And one of the greatest pleasures of this production, although I didn't warm to this production at all, was to hear, and of course it was on the opening night, to hear the audience and the kind of enthusiasm. And I haven't actually heard cheers like that for a great slab of kind of classical theatre since the very good days of the RSC in the West End at the Aldwych Theatre. And so for that alone, I would applaud, and I think it's fantastic that the producers have actually taken a tremendous gamble in bringing this piece in. But I had the pleasure of seeing this particular play at Stratford, 1999, when it was directed by Gail Edwards with a translation by Robert David MacDonald, with the leading role played by Rupert Penrose-Jones.
All right.
And it was, for my money, it was mesmerizing. At least I remember his performance as being so. And the way that the personal and the political got intermeshed in this character, in this, as you say, kind of boy man, was completely riveting and moving. And I'm afraid, much as I love Richard Coyle, who plays this part, not for one moment was I convinced by the trauma, the emotional damage. This is an emotionally damaged young man, and yet we have lines in the play all the time about he is, you know, he is the model that everybody is investing in. He is the future of the nation, and I couldn't for one moment believe in that. I thought that the production looked fantastic. I thought the music was abysmal. I mean, it was like some terrible kind of acoustic Hollywood B movie. So I looked on with admiration, but I wasn't moved, and I thought it was, for me, a near miss. But I'm very well aware that everybody else is feeling that this is a wonderful production.
Well, I had never seen the play before, so one of the things that was interesting to me was just the sheer narrative grip of it.
Yes.
But I can't compare it to any other production. Alistair, I'm sure you have seen, I'm sure you know the opera. How did this production compare?
I did. I have to say, I laughed when you talked about if you couldn't have one more twist than Schiller gives you. Actually, Verdi gives you one more. The Ghost of Charles V arrives at the end and claims Don Carlos, which is a great problem for many opera producers.
Yes.
It's funny, you're saying the first time. I think this is the fourth Don Carlos I've seen in London or Britain for about 14 years. And I'm just like Carol, I was disappointed, not just on the strength of the RSC production, though I found quite a lot of virtues, as she describes, in that, not just in Rupert Penry-Jones' performance. I don't quite agree with her even on the look of this production. To me, it's terribly overlit. It's one of those productions with lighting by Paulie Constable that often likes to silhouette the actors more than actually show you their faces. So the lighting becomes a drama in itself. It's sort of superficial theatricality, and I'm afraid I find superficial theatricality right throughout the whole of the production, not least in the star of the show, Derek Jacobi, who goes in for superficial, I think, vocal gloss, mm-hmm. real bell canto performance in the less appealing sense of the word. What's his first word? Alone.
Yes,
the way he colours that voice so over richly, and the way he then goes for the word later on, dreamer, with a Marquis of Posa, dreamer. He's not like a member of the human race, the man he shoves into the vocal tone there. Nonetheless, it's the most polished performance, and therefore, in terms of sheer theatrical effectiveness, it's the one that tends to steal the show. Mm. Really, when you go through Schiller's play, the most extraordinary character, the most original and heroic character, is that of the Marquis of Posa. Mm. There's no precedent for this character in world drama. Mm. And this is just an angry, loutish, inept performance, I'm afraid, by Elliot Cowan.
Yeah,
I've got the name right. I agree about Richard Coyle as Don Carlos. I find him actually the best actor on stage, but giving the worst performance. It's energy misdirected in every which way, flailing about.
Yes, which is always an interesting tension, isn't it?
But I have to say my worst problems are with the translation. I think it really distorts Schiller. And every time I went back to the original, I went back to Robert David MacDonald's translation also, but it's also checking out the German, I thought he's shoved in things that aren't in Schiller and he's taken out things that are. Not least the expressive directions. There are all kinds of subtleties in King Philip, moments when he melts towards his son that are taken out for going for a flashy effect instead. And cheap jokes like the Duchess, who is a re-changed character anyway, saying, what's that line about, she's been too long on her back. There is no precedent for that in the German. It's just a cheap joke thrown in.
Had you seen it in Sheffield?
No.
Now, David Benedict, you did see it in Sheffield, and you saw it last night. How has the production transferred?
I think it's transferred pretty well. There's no getting around the fact that there is a stage in Sheffield that seats 999 people around a stage in thrust that's 70 foot across, and as Victoria Hamilton once said, it's the only stage in Britain where if you run across it you can feel the wind in your hair. And actually that gives the immensity of the play a scale that under a Pross, under a proscenium arch, you simply can't get. However, for me, and I profoundly disagree with virtually everything that's been said about this production, it gained in focus and intensity what it lost in scale and immensity. I think that I normally share Alistair's feelings about Derek Jacobi and the musicality of his voice is sometimes at odds with the depth of characterisation, but I simply didn't find that either in Sheffield, and even more particularly last night at the Gielgud Theatre, where I found him genuinely terrifying, and he exhibits a kind of boiling but suppressed rage that I frankly had no idea that Derek Jacobi could do. I think he's a very considerable actor, but I've never seen that as being part of his skill base, as it were, and I thought it was a tremendous performance. And whilst I don't think there's a single weak link, I think one or two performances are better than others, but I think that there is a level of intensity in that theatre. There's a level of silence in the theatre in both occasions that I've seen it that is unmatched in my recent theatre going past, the level of concentration. And that is because something is working. And I don't know the Schiller original, all 7 hours of it. may well be a version of the play that is inappropriate in terms of what Schiller was writing in 1787. However, it strikes me as a piece of theatre which absolutely abundantly works.
I suppose we should say something about the mere fact of it being on the West End to begin with, because I remember quite vividly it was at the press of the Solid Gold Cadillac at the Garrick. One of the producers behind that was very keen to bring this Don Carlos into town, and he was saying to me, and probably others, do go up to Sheffield and see it. We need your reviews to bring it into town. I wasn't able to see it in Sheffield, so this was the first time. But there has been, surrounding this production all along, this feeling of, my God, Schiller on the West End, can it work? Will it work?
I think there have been house full notices up since the first preview. There have been standing ovations at matinees. I mean, I have to go back to the point that there's a quality of concentration in that house for a 3-hour piece of classical theatre. Now, yes, Mike Poulton's translation is modern in tone. We're not in a verse form. It has an immediacy that has the most enormous impact, which I do think is borne out, contrary to what others are saying, by the design and by the production as a whole. You know, you've got very, very high windows, which gives you a sense of oppression. So all the light is very, very steeply angled by Paulie Constable. I don't think it's overlit. At the performance last night, some circuits blew halfway through one of the scenes, and you lost a load of front light for a chunk of the first half. But I think that etching, it looks like people are appearing in and out of shadows. This is a play about hypocrisy and secrecy and listening at doors, and you absolutely get that. And because the angle of the lighting is so steep and because of the high windows and everything, you get the most amazing sense of location and placement. But more particularly, and I would also stand up in defence of Adam Cork's score, I think that the sound talks to the light, which talks to the design, which talks to the text. It's a fantastically complete piece of work. The stakes are amazingly high in this drama, and you are never, ever let off the hook. The audience sits there for about an hour and a half without an interval, and they're completely silent because the music is fed in under the end of a scene. You get something like a 4, 5, 6 second cue, by which point the next scene has started. There's a kind of inexorable role to this show that absolutely had me riveted on both occasions.
I have to say, the first act of this production is longer than the entire play that is A Life in the Theatre, and it did seem to me to pass like lightning compared to the entirety of Life in the Theatre.
It's a great play. I don't kind of want to add to what I've said against it, but how wonderful to have it here, even if it's not the Don Carlos I need, and as good as some Don Carloses I think I've seen in the past. Never mind, it's a play that hits me on so many levels. It's good to have it here. You know, I love another production, but I'm very happy that this is here.
And I also found it, as I said, I mean, I'm thrilled. I mean, if a new young audience are thrilling to this story, and that they are thrilling to the way that Grandage has presented it, and I can see that there is a tremendous immediacy about it, as well as being a kind of a melodrama, and there's a kind of a sardonic wit about it, which I think young people like very much. When Philip is when Jacoby is what should we say, is talking to the courtiers and kind of putting them down all the time. I think that, you know, the audience kind of really respond to that. So I can see that it is both a modern production, but it also reminded me of RSC work. I think it's a production that actually puts acting back 40 years. To me, this was a production of 40 years ago, give or take one or two little kind of modern things to do with lighting and as...
Why do you think the acting is 40 years out of date?
Because it has a kind of richness about it, but it also has a kind of superficiality. But there's also a lack of kind of subtext about it. There's a blood and thunder, David, about it, which was very redolent kind of 40 years ago. And at its best, of course, sometimes the RSC could do that very well. At its worst, it was inherent in some of the touring productions of Prospect Theatre Company and Toby Robertson, who used to go for kind of blood and thunder.
I don't think we want to get too waylaid by these sorts of issues, interesting though they are. It sounds as if the consensus is that it's good to have Schiller on the West End regardless, and many people will be very gripped by this production, and if not, at least you've seen the play. Thank you very much for being with us today for Theatre Voice. Thank you to Alistair McCauley, David Benedict, Carol Wattis. Goodbye.